Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Part 14. It's my 14th podcast in my series on liberalism, the new improved broad road to destruction. For the last few podcasts, I've kind of hunkered down into a parenthesis, I'm using that term for it, from my general study of liberalism. I've been studying some liberal terminology that I think is very relevant in light of the developments which seem to be taking place and are a part of the end-time prophetic scenario. Very relevant as we see so many things coming to pass according to God's prophetic scriptures. Now, we've looked at the ecumenical movement, that term, and how it's manifested and been useful to the Roman Catholic Church in trying to bring all of the Christian expressions, that is, all groups that claim to be Christian, into a one-world church. But we've also looked at the interfaith movement, another term that's very popular these days, another term that I consider more of a liberal term than any other, although there are conservatives who may work in this area as well. It's predominantly liberals that are involved in interfaith type work. Another term, of course, is interspirituality. The Roman Catholic, once again, the Roman Catholic Church has used the interfaith movement and has been a part and has worked together with other interfaith groups to try to bring false religions also into a one-world religion. So the Catholic Church is actually claiming to want to build a one-world church, but really also a one-world religion by their concessions to the other religions in wanting to really syncretize them into the whole Catholic worldview. Now, this week, I want to show how the interspiritual movement is being used by a lesser known, perhaps, but I believe very relevant group known as the United Religions Initiative. I want to look at the United Religions Initiative then, or back then, as I'll put it, and now. Now, for some of you who are saying, what the heck is the United Religions Initiative? We will get into that, but this is a group that I came across really in the 90s and a couple of different articles by a man named Lee Penn was one of the articles, and then also by Brooks Alexander of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project years ago with research by Lee Penn. Since then, there have been other articles written, but this is where I originally discovered this movement or this group, the United Religions Initiative. And at the time, of course, I didn't know whether this group would make the cut, so to speak, would be with us at this point in time years later. But recently, as I've been doing this study, I looked into them. And they're still around and they're still active, and it's very interesting some of the things that they were doing and what some of the beliefs and what direction they were going then and then now. And of course, much of it is similar, but there has been some changes. The group is still very active, and I think it's very significant. As I said before, I think it's relevant, and that's why I want to do some work with it. I will probably do two podcasts today and next week in covering this movement, which is also trying to form or help form a one-world religion, even though they may not claim that's what they're doing. That's what they basically really are doing. And today we will look at, the URI, I will call them, United Religions Initiative, then, back in the 90s when I first read about them, and the information that I'll be giving you is related to their history and some of the things that have taken place at that point in time. And then next week we'll look at what's happening now, because there is a real significant thing that's taken place, and I'll keep you in suspense for a little while with that. So be with us next week. But anyway, be with us this week. just stay with me and excuse me while I crunch a little ice here to keep the old palate moving. Now I want to look at the background of this particular group. This is from an article called The One World Religion, The Details, Learn to Recognize Them, by Lee Penn. He's done, really, he's probably written more articles than I'm aware of than anybody about this group. But others have also, it's come to the attention to others as well. Now, the background, who are the players? The United Religions Initiative, or from now on I will refer to them as the URI, is an interfaith movement founded in 1995 by William Swing, the bishop of the Episcopal Church's diocese in the San Francisco Bay Area. It has expanded worldwide with over 200 chapters, the majority of which are outside the affluent nations of North America, Western Europe, and the Pacific Rim. The URI works closely with the United Nations, and it has received funding from many sources. Among them are wealthy donors, including foundations headed by George Soros and Bill Gates, a federal agency, the United States Institute of Peace, and organizations, the Rudolf Steiner Foundation and the Lucis Trust World Service Fund, that promote various forms of theosophy and anti-Christian New Age spiritual movement. The URI supports the Earth Charter, a radical environment manifesto promoted by Mikhail Gorbachev, President Bush, a neoconservative Republican, and Gray Davis, the embattled liberal Democratic governor of California, have both commended the interfaith work of the URI and Bishop Swing. So you see the age of this article. At the time of its writing, Gray Davis was still the embattled liberal Democratic governor of California. But when I lived in California, I was actually part of the historic process of helping to remove him through a recall, which was really fun. But anyway, I digress. This is a little bit about the group and what was taking place. Now let's look at the history. Another article, this is called Terminal Ecumenism, speaks of the birth of the URI. In February 1993, Bishop Swing was Dean of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, which I will speak a lot more about them next week in next week's podcast about the Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. I have visited there, by the way. When a telephone call arrived from the United Nations asking if we at Grace Cathedral would host a great interfaith worship service honoring the 50th anniversary of the signing of the UN Charter in our city. The United Nations would bring 183 ambassadors of the nations, and we were to bring together the religions and design a fitting liturgy. Swing had long been an ecumenical enthusiast, and so he was naturally excited at the chance to direct what would clearly be a milestone ecumenical event, and of course, more than just ecumenical, but also interfaith. Sometimes people use those terms interchangeably, but there is a difference, and I kind of have been alluded. I basically spoke to that at the beginning of this talk. As Swing thought about his proposed liturgy, he was struck by one unhappy fact, namely that the practical impact of the interfaith movement on most of the world's religious conflicts has been somewhere between negligible and nil. He was disheartened that the religions of the world, as he put it, have failed to keep pace with the spiritual needs of an increasingly interdependent humanity. Now, the URI's greatest weakness at the time was that no one involved with the project had any experience in building an enterprise of the size that the URI aspired to be. Swing and his co-enthusiasts had staged several impressive events, but the operation was as a whole, lacked administrative coherence. Without additional managerial expertise, the organization could not effectively exploit the PR momentum created by the bishop's trip. He traveled around the world and got endorsements from some of the big heavyweight spiritual but not Christian people of the time, like the Dalai Lama and the Mother Teresa and the head of the World Council of Churches, etc. The answer to that problem came in the form of another unexpected phone call. An article about the URI in the Cleveland Plain Dealer caught the eye of Dr. David Copperider. Copperider heads the Weatherhead School of Management at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. At least he did at the time of this article's writing. I don't know if he does now. Remember, this is also an older article. We're talking about the URI then. And then next week we'll be looking at some newer articles, and you can see what's taken place since that time. Copywriter's methods, Copywriter enables other people to create new organizations by helping them to manage the process from concept to planning to execution to active operation. Copywriter's methods have even attracted the attention of the federal government. He recently received a $3.5 million grant through the U.S. State Department to help develop global organizations. As it happened, Copywriter came across the Plain Dealer article while he was scouting around for projects to help develop with his new State Department money. Now, you know, this is something that I would imagine those folks would have called synchronicity, which is sort of a counterfeit providence. We look at the providence of God as God working in a supernatural way to work out his will. Synchronicity is sort of like the devil's attempt to work things out according to his plan and in a way that people would look at as a form of providence, let's say. The United Religion staff received expert advice and practical management assistance from the Sigma team at every step of the way, which is the Sigma team is the people that Copywriter was involved with. In fact, the URI got special attention because Swing's visions of a universal world religious body was apparently close to Copywriter's own convictions, according to Paul Chaffee. The genius of United Religions is being woven and empowered by Dr. David Copywriter. David, the son of a Lutheran pastor who championed social justice issues, points to the United Religions Initiative as the project which moves him most deeply at a personal level. So this man, Copywriter, his father was very much involved with the social justice, you know, what once was known as the social gospel, you could still say as such, but very liberal, and this is the interest that came about from his part to help out in this endeavor. The first conference, dubbed a summit meeting, ran from June 24th through June 28th in 1996 and was attended by some 60 delegates from around the world. The media and internet reports indicate that in addition to the traditional religions, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism, etc., there was a strong contingent of delegates from native and aboriginal religions, as well as from New Age groups and other new religious movements. 71 individuals can be identified as conference participants, either from URI publicity or from other accounts of the event. The list includes some recognizable personalities. Some you may have heard of course, and some you may not have. But again, this was back in the 90s. Glenn Butcher, president of Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California. Canon Sanford, the reverend associated with the Episcopal Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Mauma Lea, head priestess of the Hawaiian religion. Didn't know Hawaii had their own religion. Philip Lane, chief of the Dakota Nation. That's a Native American group. David Copywriter, of course, the chairman of the board of the Institute for Noetic Sciences. This is a very New Age group founded by actually one of the astronauts who was involved with psychic experiments after he walked on the moon. Forgive me that his name escapes me right now. Neil David Walsh, author of the best-selling book, Conversations with God, also very strongly a New Age occultic psychic type guy. Guru Ma, a New Age spiritual leader. Barbara Marx Hubbard, described by the URI as an international recognized futurist, also heavy New Age author. And so this was some of the folks that were involved with the first and second meetings of the URI back in 96 and 97. Now, since the 1893 Parliament of the World's Religions, there has been a legion of interfaith groups attempting to unite the world's religions. However, the Reverend James Davis, an interfaith minister from New York, said of the URI conference he attended in 1997, "We've never seen any organization build coalitions as quickly or as successfully as the United Religions Initiative." Commenting on the 1998 URI summit conference, Huston Smith, a scholar of comparative religions and author of the World's Religions, a standard reference in the field, deems the URI the most significant interfaith effort. In 1995, Bishop Swing had said that the world is moving towards unity in terms of global economy, global media, global ecological system. What is missing is a global soul. How will this global soul be found and created, or created? At first, by means of conferences, networking, fundraising, declarations, and press releases. Bishop Swing's new book, The Coming United Religions, which of course is not new anymore, as this is an older article, as I've mentioned. The draft URI charter and the writings of other URI proponents make the long-term goal clear. The global soul will be a new religion for the new civilization of the new millennium. Its code will be Hans Kung's global ethic and the Earth Charter, the new Ten Commandments, according to Gorbachev. Its creed will be unity in diversity. There's a term you often hear. Its cult will be the sacred earth. The new sins will be pollution, overpopulation, and fundamentalism. Well, that sounds familiar, even though this was written in the mid-90s. Daring to evangelize for Christ. That's, you know, that fundamentalism stuff. The only heresy will be religious orthodoxy, or in other words, what we conservative Christian Bible believers believe. We might say not religious orthodoxy, that's the term this author uses, but biblical orthodoxy. The URI and its New Age globalist allies have the desire to do this. The main unanswered question is whether they can obtain the means to achieve their goals. Bishop Swing conceived the idea of the URI in 1993 after the United Nations invited him to sponsor an interfaith service at Grace Cathedral, I think I mentioned that earlier, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the signing of the UN Charter. Bishop Swing took his vision of United Religions to interfaith leaders in 1994 and received support from them. He then unveiled the plan to the public during the UN anniversary interfaith service held at Grace Cathedral in June of 1995. The most prominent people to endorse the URI, I mentioned earlier, Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, and Shenouda number 3, Pope of the Coptic Church. He's kind of a new one, probably on your list. But anyway, almost certainly they did not know the URA had a broader agenda than nonviolence and peace among religions. The 1997 conference at Stanford University included 200 people selected by URI organizers from among 1,200 candidates. The vast majority of the delegates were from the United States. Those present included, I'm trying to read fast to get through a lot of this material. Those present included Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Shintoists, Baha'is, Sikhs, Hindus, Zoroastrians, New Age followers, Wiccans, and representatives of Aboriginal religions. In other words, like Native American, only not in America. the paganism of New Zealand and Australia. In addition, there were spiritually minded business consultants, philanthropists, and directors of international environmental groups. Neither the Vatican nor the Southern Baptist Convention sent representatives. Well, that's surprising and not surprising. But anyway, we'll get into that about the Vatican later. At the 1997 conference, participants issued a call for a 24-hour worldwide religious ceasefire starting on December 31st, 1999. In other words, at the beginning of the new millennium. Also, representatives of several interfaith groups, including the Council for a Parliament of the World's Religions, the World Council of Faiths, Global Education Associates, the Temple of Understanding, and the Center for World Thanksgiving, signed a memorandum of understanding to support closer cooperation among those groups. Thus, the 1997 URI Summit Conference was the occasion for greater unity among several other interfaith organizations. A participant from the United Communities of Spirit, a New Age network, said of the 1997 conference, "The net result was a complex and quite vital creative process that sustained a constant creative excitement and a sense that this grand vision is unfolding as a natural part of social evolution." And you might say spiritual evolution as well, and simply reflects an avant-garde attunement with the spirit of the times. Attunement with the spirit of the times, indeed, a choice which the Apostle Paul warned against when he said, "Do not be conformed to this world," in Romans 12:2. All right. The quest for a global soul and a world religion is also attracting some global power brokers. Billionaire currency speculator George Soros has contributed money to the URI Youth Network. He personally favors legalization of physician-assisted suicide and has funded Choice in Dying. Now let me move down here. Soros' ambitions, like Bishop Swing's, are large, but the financier is not daunted. It is sort of a disease when you consider yourself some kind of God, the creator of everything. But I feel comfortable about it now since I began to live it out, Soros has said. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. The Gorbachev Foundation State of the World Forum is another ally of the URI. There is no formal link between the Gorbachev Foundation and the URI, but Paul Andrews, one of the URI staff members, has said, "We are friendly colleagues." Some people go to both meetings. One of these people is Alan Jones, who would be known as really a progressive Christian, but he's the dean of Grace Cathedral. Again, I'll talk more about Grace Cathedral next week. Bishop Swing's own parish is Grace Cathedral, of course. Jones was a member of the Forum's San Francisco Coordinating Council, spoke at Forum events in 1998 and attended the Forum each year that it occurred. URA supporter Robert Mueller, who was the former Assistant Secretary General of the UN and Chancellor of the University for Peace in Costa Rica, is on the Forum's International Coordinating Council. Barbara Marks Hubbard, a member of the URI Organizational Design Research and Development Team, met Dee Hock at the 1997 State of the World Forum and later introduced him to URI and the Bishop Swing. I believe Dee Hock was involved with one of the major credit card companies. I can't remember which one right now. It wasn't MasterCard, so it must have been Visa, I believe. Anyway, I read that earlier, one of the articles. Archbishop Tutu, a URI supporter, is one of the 20 co-chairs of the forum, along with Gorbachev himself. James Parks Morton of the Temple of Understanding and the Interfaith Center of New York attended the 1998 forum. On the spiritual side, forum speakers and attendees have included Nick Bunick, author of The Messengers and In God's Truth, in which he claims to be the reincarnation of St. Paul the Apostle. Good luck with that one. Rion Eisler, author of The Chalice and the Blade. Michael Lerner, Stanislav Grof, a transpersonal psychologist. Hal Puthoff, an ESP researcher and, in fact, a remote viewer, as a matter of fact, and I won't go into detail what that is right now, but basically a psychic spy for either the CIA or the Army. Barbara Marks Hubbard, mentioned earlier, Michael Murphy and Stephen Donovan, who are veterans for the Esalen Institute, which is a New Age think tank, leaders of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, I mentioned that group earlier, and several other, Gene Houston, Hillary Clinton's guru, Gene Houston, Sam Keynes, Ram Dass, Matthew Fox, Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, all of these are New Age people, and Gerald Jampowski, many other books that I don't have time to mention. Stanford University, which is where the second conference met, was actually a place where a lot of research also was done for remote viewing, which I think is no coincidence that they would be so interested in hosting something like this. The only leaders from Christian denominations who attended the 1997 forum were Dean Alan Jones, if you want to call these folks Christians, and Canon Lauren Artress of Grace Cathedral. Margaret Burig, former president of the World Council of Churches, and Eileen Linder of the National Council of Churches. Now, Lauren Artress, again, when I talk more about Grace, I'll mention her involvement in promoting the labyrinth, or people walking the labyrinth for their so-called spirituality. Now, you talk about social evolution. Swing's original emphasis on the great religions had also disappeared by the summer of 1997, along with his ideas about membership. By the time of the bishop's pilgrimage in the spring of 1996, the URI's gate had already been thrown open to alternative spiritual movements and New Age enthusiasts. A year later, Bishop himself effectively took the gate off the hinges when he dropped the religious requirement for being in the United Religions. The contributors should also include the growing group of those who claim they are not religious, but spiritual. How many times have you heard that term for people who are unsaved, but think that they're okay with God? I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Well, let me just remind everyone that demons are also spiritual. Demons are actually spirits, And people can be spiritual but be lost and be being misguided by demonic spirits. Now, the URI's members and supporters fall generally into three categories: traditional religious, secular, and fringe religious. Now, below is a summary of who offered which level of support to the United Religions. Rome stands as the firmest opponent of the URI. You might find that interesting concerning Rome's own interest in interfaith and bringing together and trying to form a world religion. But that's what my next podcast will get into, the position of Rome, or at least some of the Roman Catholic Church, including, most importantly, their Pope now, Francis's view of the URI. But at this point, they were actually opponents of the URI, as this article says. Among Christians, endorsements have been offered by such impressive figures, and I mentioned earlier Hans Kung, Mother Teresa, and a few other names here. However, most of the Catholic, Anglican, and liberal Protestant participants in the URI have either been part of the interfaith movement already, or they have distinctly been part of the religious fringe, such as the defrocked Dominican, ex-Catholic, now Episcopal, New Age priest Matthew Fox, which some of you probably heard about if you've studied much about the New Age. A lot of the mainstream Christian endorsements that the bishop gathered during his 1996 spring tour should be considered extremely soft today in view of the URI's headlong departure from the vision that Swing was presenting for endorsement at the time. They may be less enthused about joining a carnival of spirituality in which New Age gurus, psychic healers, and earnest agnostics mingle on an equal basis with traditional religions. But again, I can see how the Antichrist certainly will want to bring together all different I'm not religious, just spiritual groups, including all of the above. The second category of the three categories I mentioned earlier includes various secular and establishment-connected groups that have offered their endorsement and or direct participation. Mentioned Gorbachev and the Soros Foundations. David Cooperrider and the Sigma Crew should be included as well. These are some of the secular groups. Why are such people and organizations offering aid and comfort to the URI? During the religious proliferation that marked the end of the Roman Empire, it was said that all of the religions were regarded by the people as equally true, by the philosophers as equally false, and by the politicians as equally useful. That is the spirit in which much of the URI's secular support has been extended, and no speculation is required in saying so. It is known, let me just skip that. The secular supporters of the URI see religion in general as a tool, and they see the United Religions as a specific tool to promote their non-religious notion of the global good. Well, I see my time is up. We will come back for a review of these the three categories that I just mentioned, traditional religious, secular, and fringe religions, religious groups in the URI of old, and then we'll move on to the URI in its present manifestation. God bless you all, and keep looking up, for the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Bye.